official. Good. All right, well, we just sang the words, "Hope was born this night." And as we approach Christmas, and it is great to see you here. This is one of my favorite services of the entire year. And because we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus and celebrate his birth. And tonight, as we sang that song, "Hope was born this night," we're going to celebrate hope tonight. Because hope is probably one of the most powerful themes surrounding Christmas. In fact, hope is a gift that we all need today. And I don't know about you, but if you look around in our world today, we need hope, don't we? If you watch the news, if you watch the news at all this week or this month or the last few months, you can kind of feel that, right? We need something. We need hope. If you've been to the grocery store and seen the prices rising everywhere, and you know we need hope, right? Or maybe just trying to navigate the challenges that come at us from seemingly every angle. In the face of all of this, we need hope. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about hope, because hope is more than just a wish. It's more than just a desire. You know what hope is? You see, we can wish for things, and they may not be realistic or possible, but when we hope for something, it has an idea of expectation or anticipation to it. So hope is more than a wish, it's kind of an expectation. It's like this, maybe you have there's a job opportunity for you, and you put hope in that. You're not just wishing you get it, but you're expecting to get it. On Monday, we should have hope that the Eagles are going to win, which is a little harder to do, but we should expect them to win, right? Or anticipate that. But this is what we should have. Is an amazing thing, because it not only gives us something to look forward to, it can give us peace in life, because we know that things are going to be okay. And that's what hope does. And it's through this carol that we just sang, "Hope is Born This Night," that we find that we can have hope in our lives, because Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. And this is what I want to talk to you about this evening a little bit before. But before I do, hopefully when you came in, you saw our Christmas tree out in the lobby. How many people saw our Christmas tree out in the lobby? And if you noticed it, it had all these ornaments on it that were out there. These were made by Dan Seymour. Really awesome job he did. And you'll notice there's a lot of them. The reason why there's a lot of them out there is because we'd like for you to take one home as a gift tonight. So you can take one per family home, or one per person home. And take one, you can hang them on your tree or whatever. But if you look at them, they're really cool, because they say hope has come, and it has a lighthouse on it. And maybe you're looking at that and you're saying, a lighthouse, that's not very Christmassy though, is it? I mean, shouldn't it be a nativity or something like that? And I want to tell you, explain a little bit why we have a lighthouse on our ornaments this year, and what that's all about, really, of why we have it. And there's a couple reasons. First reason is because I like lighthouses and it's good to be the king. So I said, let's have lighthouses on the ornaments this year. And we have lighthouses. But no, really, I really like lighthouses, especially the lighthouse that we have on here. It's the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse down in North Carolina. And it's a really neat lighthouse. It's over 150 years old, stands 200 feet, and it's a brick structure. And Cape Hatteras is known as the graveyard of the Atlantic. The waters off of it are very dangerous. So the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is very impressive, and it's an important landmark. But there's another reason why we have a lighthouse on our ornaments this year, because lighthouses are kind of like Jesus, in that lighthouses are beacons of hope. They are known for their bright light shining out right into a dark and stormy sea to give hope to mariners, much like Jesus, who is our light and who is the light of the world. In fact, the first scripture that we read was from the prophet Isaiah, from Isaiah chapter 9. And a little bit earlier in that chapter, he says this about Jesus, about him as our light shining into the darkness. He says this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," and this is Jesus. "Those who dwelt in the land of darkness, on them has light shined." See, just as a lighthouse brings hope to weary and battered mariners, Jesus, the light of the world, shines to bring hope for us. Right where we are today, right in our world, in our situations where we find ourselves. And the qualities that make a lighthouse a beacon of hope are very similar qualities that make that are is in Jesus as our source of hope, or as our beacon of hope in our life. In fact, as our beacon of hope, here's what Jesus says about himself as a beacon of hope. In John chapter 14, he says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, how does this all relate to a lighthouse, or to lighthouses being this, but these beacons of hope? Well, I want to do a little comparison about some of these qualities of the lighthouse. And Jesus has three qualities that he mentions about himself here, and there's three qualities about lighthouse that correspond to that. And the first is, a lighthouse is a beacon of hope for mariners, is that a lighthouse is a guide. It serves to guide the way to go, right? Lighthouses are placed in important points of navigation. Sometimes they sit outside safe harbors or off of points. Like the Cape Hatteras one, it sets out in a point out into the Atlantic where it marks the safe place to go around where you can start to come back to land. A lighthouse helps point the way towards safety as its light shines out across the sea, giving mariners hope that they can be safe. Now, when Jesus spoke these words that are up on the screen, he was talking to his followers. He was talking to his disciples. In fact, he had just gotten done telling his disciples that what was coming up for him. And he says, "I'm going to be giving my life. I'm going to be giving my life on the cross and dying. But I'll rise from the dead. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to return and bring all of mine back with me." And the disciples were a little worried about all of this because they said, "Well, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. We don't know how we can follow you there. And we're not sure what we're supposed to do without you." And this was when Jesus says these words. And he talks about how he, as a beacon of hope, helps guide. And the first Jesus says, "I am the way." You see, just as a lighthouse is a guide, Jesus is our guide in that he is the way. Now, I want you to look at that because Jesus doesn't just point the way. He is the way. And he's not just a way, one of many. He says, "I am the way, the only way." Where is he the only way? Well, he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to have a right relationship with God. He's the only way we can be restored with the Father and have eternity with him and have life that means anything right here and now. Jesus is the only way to that. You see, only through Jesus can we be made right through God, because God demands perfection and only Jesus can live the perfect life. Only Jesus lived the sinless life that none of us can give. And you know what? He gives it to us when we trust him as the way. Not only that, Jesus is the way to forgiveness of sin, because he dies on the cross for us, takes our sin on him, pays the penalty, and he gives that payment to us when we trust him as the way. And then he gives us life, because he came and he defeated the grave, defeated death once and for all, so that we can live. We can live right here and now with a relationship with him, and then live for eternity when we trust him as the way. You see, there's no other way to be right with God. There's no other way to find joy, to find peace, to find contentment in life than through Jesus. We can't get that through money. You can have all the money in the world and you won't find that. You can't get that way through good deeds or being good enough. We can't be good enough to be good enough for God. We can't get that through going to church. We can only get it by going through Jesus. Jesus is the only way, and he guides us like a lighthouse when we follow him and trust him and his work alone. Now, there's another quality of the lighthouse that we know with mariners that they have. Not only does a lighthouse guide mariners to where they go, but a lighthouse also alerts mariners. A lighthouse is a signal that there's something important you need to pay attention to that could be life or death coming. And as it shines its light out, it can show you what is there, what is true and what is not true, and what is dangerous and what is not dangerous, and the way to go. And it alerts. At night, it alerts you through its light. During the daytime, they paint lighthouses different colors so you can see them from afar off. Sometimes in the fog, they have a big fog horn that mariners can hear so that they'll know, hey, we need to pay attention because this is going to tell us what is right and wrong and where we should go and where we shouldn't go. You see, just as a lighthouse alerts mariners to what's important, you know what Jesus does as our beacon of hope? Well, Jesus says this. He says, I'm not only the way, but I am the truth. You see, I'm the alert. I will show you what is right and what is wrong. You know, the time of the disciples, they hear this with Jesus, and they like we today, lived in a very noisy world. You know what that means? They lived in a world where everybody has an opinion. Do you ever experience that? People have just a couple opinions around you. And everybody seems to have an opinion on what's right and what's wrong and the way we should go and the way things should happen. And a lot of times they conflict with each other, don't they? And you don't know which way to follow or which way to go or what's true and what's not true. And the disciples worried about that, so that's why Jesus told them, you don't need to worry, you just need to follow because I am the truth. So Jesus is saying, I'm a beacon of hope because you can know the truth if you know me. So he tells his disciples, as he tells us, that he is the truth, not a truth, not an opinion or a viewpoint or something to consider. He is the truth. What he says goes, what he says works, what he says is correct, and we can trust what Jesus says. You see, if you've ever faced those difficult decisions, those situations in life where you have a lot of people chirping at you and saying, well, you need to do this, you need to do this. No, this is the way you should go. And you're not sure, and you're just up there trying to say, I don't know what I'm supposed to believe or where I'm supposed to go. How can we ever know? Well, we have a lighthouse. We have a beacon of hope, and that is in Jesus, so that we can come to Jesus, and we can come to his word, and we can know what is there is what is true. Just as a light from the lighthouse pierces the darkness to reveal trouble, directs the way through, Jesus, through his word, does this for us. He tells us what his word is. He tells us what is true. And he says, I am the truth. Isn't that awesome that we live in a world where we can know that something definitely is true? Especially when everyone around us is saying, well, it's kind of true. It's true for me. It doesn't have to be true for you. And that's not truth. Truth is only one place. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And we can place our hope in him and what he says and know how to live our lives and where to follow. Jesus is our hope because through him we can know right from wrong and know the right way to live in a very stormy world. And then finally, as we look at a lighthouse as a beacon of hope for mariners, you know what else a lighthouse does? Is it welcomes. It welcomes people home. It welcomes mariners home back to safe harbor. Picture this, and if you've ever been out on a voyage or anything like that, you're out at sea, miles from land, weeks on end, sometimes months on end, and you've been through stormy seas, and you've been through dangers, and you've been through times where it's been just very boring, and you just see sea. And your mind starts to go back, and it starts to wear. It starts to turn towards home, right? Man, I want a warm meal. Wow, my loved ones. Wow, I want a peaceful night's sleep. I just want some rest because this is just crazy. And days all become a blur and you begin to despair and you begin to get down and you just sit there and say, well, where can we go in life? And this is what mariners sometimes do. And then they look up and they see on the horizon a lighthouse. And you know what immediately happens? They start to get filled with joy. That grumbling turns into happiness. It goes into contempt. Because why? We're almost home. We have something that awaits us that's going to be great, and we're almost there. You know, just as a lighthouse welcomes mariners like that, that's who Jesus is for us as our beacon of hope. When he says this, not only am I the way and I am the truth, but I am the life. I am the life. Jesus welcomes those who place their trust in him as the only way and the truth to real, meaningful, and abundant life. life right here and now, that we can live right here and now. But not only that, that we get to look forward to a life with him in eternity. And we can say, wow, we're almost home. We get to do this. And we get to have the life that he gives. Again, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about this and he's telling them about the cross and that he would die, they're sitting here saying, what did we put our lives to? Wait a minute. We left our families. We left our work. We left all of these things to follow you, and we've done all these great things, and it's really cool. But you're going to die, so we're on our own, and it's going to be wasted. Have we just wasted our time? And Jesus says, no, you haven't wasted your time. Why? He says, because I am the life. So you stick with me and you know where life is. You see, we never waste our time following Jesus. We can waste our time with a lot of things, can't we? Get your homework assignment out and you've got YouTube on. You can waste a lot of time. Jesus said, no, I'll give you life. Death would not hold Jesus. Jesus is bigger than death itself. But you know what? Jesus, by being bigger than death itself, Jesus is bigger than anything in all of creation. Anything we could possibly face, Jesus is bigger than. And when we place our trust in him, he's with us. So you know what we have? We have the one who is with us and for us, who is bigger than anything we could possibly face. Talk about life. What's the worst that could happen, right? We could be with him and he with us. And that is what Jesus does. Jesus alone can give us life with God, true, meaningful life that can begin here and now, because we get to walk with him. We get to follow him. We get to know his strength and know his purpose in what he has for us each and every day. So no matter what we face or we may be facing, Jesus is bigger than it all. So when we're trusting in him as our way, truth, and life, guess what? We can have hope. We can have hope that he will lead us, that he will keep us, and that he will bring us through all of it with him. So this is real hope. There is nothing else in the entire world that can bring us what Jesus can bring us in this hope. Because Jesus is our beacon of hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, at Christmas, that's what we celebrate in Jesus, don't we? We celebrate the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. But when Jesus was born, you know what else came into the world, came into flesh and blood? Hope. Because God in the flesh became man, God with us, as we read in Isaiah. This is God with us. This baby born in the lowly manger is God in the flesh, our hope that we can rely on, the only hope that we can rest in, cling to, the way, the truth, and the life. So this Christmas, here's our call, is to rejoice that hope is born this night, as we sang. And that's why we have a lighthouse on our ornaments, so that you can keep it on your tree. And you can remember, Jesus is our hope. So that when you're walking this week or next week and troubles start to come, your car breaks down, or you know your kids break curfew and you don't know where they are and they come home late and they don't seem to care, or you have trouble at job and you're just like, what are we going to do? Guess what? Jesus has got us because he is our beacon of hope. And if we cling to him, he leads us through. So if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your hope, your beacon of hope, never come to him, you can know him tonight as not only this beacon of hope, but you can know him personally as your Lord and your Savior. And all it takes is for us to ask him. Isn't that awesome? Is to ask him, to realize that he's lived the perfect life we can't live. So we trust that. That he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And we want that, so be my Savior. And then he rose from the dead to give us life, and so let me live life with you. And that's what we do when we come to Jesus Christ as our hope, is we ask him to be our Savior and our Lord, and we place our trust in him. You see, that's the greatest gift we can ever have at Christmas, is to know Jesus, our beacon of hope. So let's pray.